Hello, everybody, and welcome to the War Room. This one is for the UFC 269 main event for the lightweight title, the defending champion Charles Oliveira, the Bronx, taking on the diamond Dustin Poirier. Okay, I've done a full breakdown of this for BT Sport, so you can check that out. It's got a load of clips. It's kind of long. I'm going to summarize that here for you today and kind of maybe wander off on a couple of tangents because I think it's a really interesting fight for a lot of reasons. Of course, Dustin Poirier's second shot at the belt, the actual belt, rough the first time around with Khabib, but there were a couple of moments. You know, he landed a good shot, and Khabib looked kind of wobbled for a moment. I know people are gonna go nuts in the comments for that, insinuating some kind of weakness. It's ridiculous, but still, he caught him for a second. Looked hurt for a minute. Khabib, of course, like a champion, scrambled and was able to recover, and the guillotine was very tight as well. Poirier does have a good guillotine. He does have good neck attacks. He does have good grappling. He does have good wrestling. You know, he's a good all-round fighter. He's still the same fighter that he was when he was in the WEC. I feel like I've said that to you guys before. But if you go back to his I think it was it Crispy? It was his last fight in the WEC, and he came out swinging, and it was about a 60-second fight, and he just clubbed this guy. Let me find his name. Hang on a second. Because it was very much Dustin Poirier who he is now. Zach Micklewright. I was way off. Josh Crispy was his UFC debut. Against Zach Micklewright, he went out swinging. It was a 53-second fight, and it was reckless. It was fun. It was effective. He's the same fighter now. He's just a more refined version of that same fighter. In the moments where he's throwing a barrage of shots against the fence, now he's got a little bit of a duck, a little bit of a shoulder guard for those shots coming back. Sometimes he'll tempt his way into range and then pull back while his opponent throws a shot. He's far more aware and far more mature in his game. It doesn't mean he's taken his foot off the gas in any way. It just means he breaks for corners now, which is much, much better. It leaves him less vulnerable. It also puts him in a position where he's very square against his opponent. So when he does go wading in with power, if they level change, they're level changing into square hips, which are very, very difficult to deal with as a wrestler. And you're also changing into a good neck attack game, good darces, good anacondas, good guillotines, etc. With Charles Oliveira, we've kind of seen two versions of Charles Oliveira. I feel like his time as a featherweight, he was a different fighter. Poirier is more effective as a lightweight, in my opinion. He was good as a featherweight, but I feel like now he's moved up a division. He's not battling the scales at all anymore. You know, he's comfortable at the weight. He's also thickened out a bit. You know, his neck and his back and shoulders have added some muscle, which means he's more able to take shots. I feel like we're seeing the same thing with Charles Oliveira. He's a tall guy. What is he? Hang on a minute. Yeah, he's 5'10 for the division. You know, 5'10, 74-inch reach. So he's got an inch height. He's got 2 inches in reach. He's also got the experience advantage as well. I feel like he's at the right time in his life where moving up to lightweight is what his body needs. He's grown into it. He looks big and strong at this weight class. He's hitting and he's hurting people. He's a different fighter now than he was at featherweight. And I think that's the same thing for Poirier. So I think we're getting a better version of both fighters. But this version of Charles Oliveira, that's a different thing. Like, Poirier is a very similar version to how he was in the WEC. Charles Oliveira was an excellent jiu-jitsu player that now has got lethal Muay Thai as well. So it's like, now you pick your poison. You know, you can either get beaten up on the outside like Kevin Lee did and picked apart with good boxing. Then he starts stepping in with that smashing uppercut through the center of the guard. But all the time, when he's on the outside, he's prodding at the midsection with those front kicks. He's doing two things. He's depleting his opponent's energy to fight. It's a very slowing technique to use. You know, it digs into the guts. It upsets the breathing. Anything that you can attack around the midsection, anything that's going to affect the organs of the body is going to have a knock-on effect to the rest of the body, to the performance of the body. And that's what we saw in the Kevin Lee fight. He faded very quickly. He was taking those front kicks, and then he got tempted to catch one of them in the third round, and he ran straight into a guillotine. And that's the danger with Charles Oliveira is now his striking's gotten so good. Now his striking's got to a point where, well, where do you want to fight him? You know, like, do you want to trade punches with him? Do you want to play that Muay Thai game, or do you want to try and get out of it and try and wrestle with him? Neither are very good options. I think with Dustin Poirier, it's far clearer what you're going to get from him. I think we all know that Dustin Poirier is going to want to box in this fight. He might want to spend a bit of time in top position, but it will be standing over an open guard with Charles Oliveira crushed up against the fence. That's about the safest place for him to be. Standing is the safest place for him to be. I still think it would be safer for Dustin Poirier to be on the feet and to use his avalanche-style attack to beat Charles Oliveira back up against the fence and to attack the body and to wear him out and to keep chopping into those low kicks, into those legs. Like, this is southpaw the orthodox, which does make the low kicks more difficult, especially if you're attacking the calf. Charles Oliveira's got a really good chopping low kick, but obviously he can't use that to the outside of the leg in this one. He's going to have to come to the inside of the leg, whereas Poirier's very good at dealing with that calf kick regardless of the stance. So I do expect Poirier to be using some low kicks in this one, but then there's, of course, the risk of Charles Oliveira deciding that he wants to be offensive with his grappling. So you've got two sides to Charles Oliveira. You've got the side where he'll walk you down and he'll pepper you from the outside, the Kevin Lee version. But then you've also got the side where he goes for Jim Miller like a shark on a seal. Like he clutches him, picks him up in the air, slams him to the floor, and then climbs up him like a koala bear up a tree and strangles him. There's no escape. He did the same thing with Christos Yagos. The difference with that one is he was timing his level change under Yagos's shots. He was walking him back against the fence, prodding him in the midsection with his teep. And then when Yagos was trying to fire back with punches, Oliveira's level changed and he's put him on the floor. And then once he was on the floor, he went from being in an open half guard position to climbing into mount. And, you know, once this guy's in a dominant position, whether that's mount, side control, back, whether it's clamped onto a leg, like, it's bad news. He's a fight ender no matter where it is. You know, Will Brooks, same thing again. The beauty of that finish was that was a 30-second squeeze. He knew he had that position. He knew he wasn't gonna lose that position to Will Brooks. Even if he wasn't in the perfect position with the rear naked choke, that slow, steady squeeze that he's got, that patient wisdom of a long-time black belt that has applied his game to mixed martial arts better than any other fighter that we've ever seen in the octagon. That's not an overinflated opinion of mine. That's the truth. He's got more submissions than anybody else that's ever stepped foot in the octagon. That is an incredible stat. He is lethal on the mat. Quick drink. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to quick move through the playlists that I had on the breakdown show, because that structure was put together for it to make sense in the flow of the fight. So like the first one I had was Dustin Poirier with the heavy bombardment. So the Charles Oliveira that's dangerous is the one that's standing in front of you with you backed up against the fence. That Charles Oliveira is a multiple attack animal. He can box your head off. He can keep jabbing you in the midsection with that teep. He can level change and take you down, or he can use the first bunch of techniques, the striking techniques, to pressure you into level changing because there's nowhere to go left and right. Backs up against the fence, you're trapped. There's a barrage of shots coming at you. Usually that's when he starts throwing spinning attacks because he wants people to grapple with him, and then you're in his world. For Dustin Poirier, he wants to hold you against the fence and throw a volume of attacks, but there isn't necessarily the threat of the level change. It would be foolish, I think, for Dustin Poirier to try and shoot Charles Oliveira into the fence. He's going to find himself in the position that Clay Guida was in, where Charles Oliveira is working on his neck immediately. So the other option is for Poirier to be backed up against the fence, but then he's working to the beat of Charles Oliveira's drum. I really think the most logical thing for Poirier to do is to do kind of what he did against Gaethje, do that kind of pressure and release kind of style where he'd move laterally around the fence and Gaethje would push forward. And then he would crash forward with a few shots and push Gaethje back into the center to give himself a bit more breathing room to move. And then Gaethje would start to try and chop him up against the fence again. He would continually do this. And each time he was crashing forward with more success because Gaethje was getting more more timid. He was reacting to the shots a lot more. I think that would be a good game plan for Dustin Poirier because that doesn't give Charles Oliveira the opportunity to just level change on his terms. It would make it a lot more difficult. And because Poirier is very good at stepping through with his punches, you know, he throws a power shot off the right hand, then he steps through, the left hand comes over. Sometimes he'll stitch kicks on the end of it like he did against Cub Swanson. Very good at traveling through distance. So by pushing Charles Oliveira back through the octagon and retaking the center, it allows him to flow through an attack of power shots, something which is most likely to land. The other thing that I need to talk about as well is the ace cards of Dustin Poirier. There are a few things that he does really well that are going to be of value in this fight. Of course, the neck attacks, which I've talked about, the square stance defending takedowns is going to be a real value to him, as well as stepping through and covering distance and, you know, pushing Charles Oliveira back. But if he does get tangled up, Charles Oliveira is not the kind of fighter that needs to land in top position in order to do well. He can land on the bottom. He can be taken down like he was against Nick Lentz and use his butterfly hooks to elevate and sweep to top position. Basically, as soon as you land on the floor, it's, you know, you're kind of in his waters. So there's going to be a priority, you would think, for Dustin Poirier to be disengaging as quickly as possible, using his head position, getting his arms out of the way, but staying in that range where he can still land his punches, but not getting too in where he's tangled up and he's got caught with overhooks and Charles Oliveira's grabbed the wrist. He's going to be jumping triangles. He's going to be dropping for ankles and stuff. So Poirier's got to play a very careful game of being aggressive, but not being reachable, not allowing Charles Oliveira to grab him and pull him in. That's going to be a real challenge for Poirier because he does tend to get caught up in the fight and he does tend to overstep. But I will say in his last few fights, particularly the first fight, the first rematch with McGregor, the second fight where he tracked him up against the fence after the calf kick, where he retook the center and trapped McGregor and then threw a whole bunch of punches, a lot of which missed, but he adjusted that right hook that caught him on the forehead. That's Poirier's range. If he's able to bully Charles Oliveira and keep him in that range, it's going to make his life a lot safer because then Charles Oliveira is shooting out of pressure and that is much better for Dustin Poirier. Good uppercuts, good hooks, good knees at the center as we saw against Gaethje. As we saw against Alvarez. And one other thing that I have to mention again, the neck attacks of Dustin Poirier. Charles Oliveira has been subbed a couple of times. He's been caught with guillotines. Exhaustion, fatigue, damage, pain, pressure, whatever it is, those things can break a fighter and can force them to do things they don't want to do. That's what Dustin Poirier is very good at making people do. Oh, I mean, they're very evenly matched. Let me just quick run through the stats once more and then we'll call it. So, slightly shorter average fight time for Charles Oliveira. Slightly higher striking output for Dustin Poirier. Accuracy is about the same, slight edge for Charles Oliveira. More strikes absorbed by Dustin Poirier, but a slightly higher defense. Now, when it comes to the grappling, the takedown accuracy and defense, again, you know, very, very similar. I think that's going to be a very competitive range. The difference between the two is the priority in that range. Charles Oliveira, if he's grappling, it's let's get to the floor however you like. Dustin Poirier, it is I'm out of here. I'm not playing this game. And if I am, I'm going to stand over you, land a couple of shots, and then I'm going to bounce. Unless you're third, fourth round deep and you're starting to look tired and fatigued, then he might have a little attack on your neck and see how you react to that. But it's a hell of a fight. I think Charles Oliveira is going to be a really tough test for Dustin Poirier to get the belt off. I'm going to say that right now. But it doesn't mean Dustin Poirier can't do it. I just think he's got to make it into a real scrap. He's got to drag him into deep waters. And he's got to be willing to tangle with him in ranges where he's going to be taking shots and he's probably going to be damaged. And he's going to have to work through some bad rounds. Charles Oliveira is very skilled everywhere. But the most important thing, he's got the bookends. He's got the lethal striking. and the lethal jiu-jitsu. It stacks the odds in his favor, in my opinion. Can't wait. Make sure you check it out. I'll see you next time.